Yo, welcome to a brand new episode of You Must Be Joking Podcast with me, Eric Lawler.
Me, Will Wee.
And our guest today is someone we've wanted to get in for a while.
We have.
He's one of those comics who never tried to fit into any scene. He's just built his own out of Belfast. He's grafted for years, sharpened his voice, trusted his instincts and turned himself into one of the most powerful, respected acts to come out of Northern Ireland. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the man himself, Mr. Colin Geddes!
Yes!
Who wrote that, Bruce Bonner? Fucking unbelievable.
Off AO,
yeah, I'm all over the AO.
It's got a rip.
Question for Colin.
Welcome.
I suppose, Colin,
thank
it's great
you. Cheers,
to have
for,
you.
Cheers yeah, for having me.
We've tried a couple of times and it just hasn't worked out time wise, schedule wise, but you're here now.
I'm here.
I'm delighted to have you. And one of the first questions I want to ask you, Colin, like, you were on the scene a long time, like almost as long as us, but when I say a long time, Willie, you take over here. You used to watch his videos.
Yeah, I did. I have a mate of mine who's originally from Andytown but made a few quid and moved to the
Lisbon.
Prestigious Lisbon Road. Yeah.
Are you joking
me? No, 100%. So you remember where the old Bank of Ireland used to be on the Lisbon Road? He lives in the back Cranmere Gardens.
Okay.
I think Colin Murphy lives up there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got a few quid as well.
Yeah.
And
his wife
I remember going up there years ago and gigging in the Empire, and me mate said to me, Neil, he said, have you seen these two fellas? And I went, no. He went, I am fighter.
Right.
And it was obviously you know what it was yourself. Oh, yeah. And I just found it hilarious, and you know, I know it kind of, and there is loads of comedians at the moment that are coming through from that angle, and I always say to fellas, if you can do sketch comedy, you can definitely do stand up comedy,
But I think to give you your kudos and your flowers, Colin, that you were able to step from that onto a live stage as a stand up. An awful lot of people can do that.
But it was a very quick turnaround.
Was it?
So. I never started out thinking to myself, I want to be in comedy.
Yeah.
It was all very gradual. Supposed to go to uni in Belfast, didn't get in, had to go to Derry. They did a experimental course where you could, it was multimedia, different animation, graphics, all this stuff. One of them was Move and Image. And I was obsessed with The Office and Spinal Tap and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I just made a little fake documentary. And then that was... It was actually called Hits. The irony of this, it was about somebody who was trying to replicate viral videos back then.
Right. Wow.
And then the
ahead
second
of the grain there, Colin.
Yeah, very meta. And then the second video was I Am Fighter.
No.
So that was the second video I'd ever made, and I was just trying to copy these sort of mock doc things that I'd seen.
And were you surprised with how successful it was, or did you doing it? You were going, this is going to take off.
Oh yeah, because back then it was strictly YouTube.
Right.
Because I remember, this is so long ago, that I can remember uploading to Facebook was new.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, so it was, everyone was going to YouTube, watching the videos, and then I kind of stuck to YouTube, and then Facebook videos came along, and at that point I was like, fuck, I might as well stick some of these up on Facebook.
Showing your age,
and then that was new, and then Snapchat was new, and then Instagram was new, you know. It must have been it was 2009.
Was it?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, because we buried the blender Henderson. I was just saying to Eric, the guy that used to be in the videos with you.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to him?
Dan. He was actually the younger brother of a guy that I did hang about with quite often.
Right.
But I don't think he sort of was expecting those videos to go so big. And I was getting recognised, he was getting recognised. And we're just very normal, young men doing normal jobs. And
was he a little bit uneasy with the whole recognition kind of thing?
Yeah.
Right, okay. And that's understandable.
And then I was, once I had that sort of just the sniff that I could maybe do this professionally, I was off. Yeah. And I was trying to get him involved and he just wasn't into it.
Okay.
And at some point I just had to go, fuck it, I'm away here.
Yeah.
And that was maybe 2009. And then started stand up probably the next year.
Wow!
It's an amazing progression from where you were to where you are now, Colin. Again, myself and Willie, we've had a couple of the lads from the north on the podcast. We've had Shane on, we've had Paddy, we've had William on, and we are always constantly blown away by the support you lads have up there from your communities, from your local. You know, it's amazing. You've done 6 SSC arenas. Colin, there's a 6, Colin, you've done? Probably more.
Probably 6 on my own. I've done other stuff. We did the
podcast and all that.
We did the podcast. We did the Comedians Comedy which is just like big fucking showcase.
But that's astonishing to us. That's astonishing, Colin. But it's amazing. Yeah. It's like jealous almost. Yeah, look, it's have a bit of that support.
Yeah, we look at it, I look at it and go, there's six counties up there. Yeah. These lads are just like
superstars.
It, like obliterating superstars. It. And yeah. then I'm going, we've 26 counties down here. Yeah. And sometimes you're kind of going, you're looking at ticket sales for places and you're going, Jesus Christ, man, get behind us. Like,
yeah.
You know?
And but it's weird. It is weird. You know, you could be doing an arena in Belfast and then try and do a gig in Limerick or something that, you know, you might get 80 people who...
So you do notice that then there's maybe a bit of a drop-off when you come south kind of thing, just that?
Maybe...
Certain areas.
Well, yeah, it's a bit of a step down for, yeah. you know, take like Shane, for example.
Yeah.
You know, he can still do the fucking Olympia and stuff like that.
But it's only recently he's been starting to do the Olympia. I remember Shane coming down here and he was doing smaller venues.
Oh, like, yeah, well, we've all scaled up. It's been like Whelan's.
Yeah, yeah, know, Whelan's. That's what
you
I was thinking
climbing
of.
Climbing your way up. And yeah. I did it the worst way, which is did Whelan's about 3 years in a row and then was like, let me do Vicar here. And I think I got like 850 people in.
It's amazing.
I remember texting Chris Kent being like, what's the sort of
capacity?
This looks like a decent gig. And I said, I've sold like 800 or something. He's like, oh, man, that's
going to look full as fuck. I mean, if you sell 400 in Vicar Street, they have a way of still making that look full.
Yeah, I bet they
do. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
So it was good. And weirdly, the only date they could get was at the start of the tour. When I did it, I was kind of like, I feel like I want to leave that one to the
finale kind of thing.
I've got 25 gigs in the bag.
Colin, when you look back at yourself starting out in Belfast, what's the biggest difference between that Colin Geddes and the one that's sitting here right now?
I mean, very, very cheesy. It's probably just experience and knowledge. That's all. You know, like
life events have happened.
And there was no like, especially like in the comedy side of things. Yeah. There was nobody to like copy.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
There was no inspiration.
There's obviously things like the Hole in the Wall gang and, you know, Tim McGarry and all those guys. KLD before that even, you know, he was kind of long gone in the comedy scene by the time I came around. Like, but there was that sort of crew and they were doing, you know, all those sketch shows and Give My Head Peace and stuff. And that was that kind of had the TV side of it locked down. You know, they would just keep remaking it. And they did that for decades until the internet came around and then my sort of wave of people came through.
The new wave,
and that was the big difference.
And it took over.
Sort of. I mean, had a very strange experience where we did the Comedians Comedy, which was in the SSE.
Yeah.
Which someone, Kieran Bartlett, actually.
Yeah.
Who was on the lineup, Colin?
Last year, it was like me, Mickey Bartlett, Vittorio Angeloni, Aaron McCann, Mark McCarney, Donna Doherty, Colin Murphy.
Jesus.
All the big hitters.
Rory Woods.
Yeah.
The ticket should have been £600. It was fucking... You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know like, what you mean, yeah.
And everyone just throws 15 and the night's over like that.
It's a whole festival on stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know what to do for the next one.
Yeah.
But this is a weird moment. Tim McGarry texts me and he's like, you know, if you're booking that for next year, give me a shout.
No way.
And I was like, you know, I was just thinking about me, you know, fucking 16 years ago. Trying to make a thing. Like, there'll be a day when like Tim McGarry from Give My Headpiece will text you asking for gigs and I was like, fucking hell, what?
That's mad. It's like we all have little moments like that where we have to pinch ourselves. I'm like, I have a little moment like that. I mean, we spoke about it before on the podcast. Good few years ago now, Colin, I got a phone call off Ardal O'Hanlon and he asked me to come over and do some writing with him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and this is like, you know, Ardal O'Hanlon, like fucking Father Ted and all of being out there and going, like I'd met Ardal, like, done a few gigs and all that. And he was asked to do a gig. It was a real niche gig he was asked to do. It was over in London in the Palladium or something like that. But it was specifically for pregnant women. And it was for Pampers. And he wanted, because he knew I was writing jokes about being a father and kids and all that. And he just wanted to tap into that with me. So we spent the whole day in his house writing jokes about being a dad. And it was like, one of them moments, I go, Jesus Christ. You know, who would have seen this coming? I'm sitting in a room helping one of the greats write jokes. Like, you know, he didn't use any of them. But it's like a bed and a bag of nappies.
Gig for pregnant women. Jesus Christ.
But you obviously, like, this is a podcast, in case you're wondering, Colin, and it's not an interrogation. You've a huge success.
It's my first one. I'm very excited about it. Yeah.
You're a veteran of the podcast scene. You are. Let's be honest.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was actually doing podcasts too early.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, when I had General Banter, it was probably too far ahead. I mean, that sounds wanky.
No,
but I was doing it way when you still had to explain to somebody what a podcast was. Do you know what I mean?
I think one of the earliest podcasts I had heard about and seen was Jarlett's, An Irish Man Abroad.
Yeah,
that was like, I was walking with Jarlett in Edinburgh donkeys years ago, and he was talking about this podcast, and I was like, oh, yeah, not a fucking clue what he was talking about. Yeah. You know, and now everyone's doing a fucking podcast.
Sometimes like, you just get the early bus, Colin. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
you just kind of go, give this a go, and then you look down the line.
I started cycling, and then someone went, you know, there's a fucking bus coming out. I was like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I would say you're a visionary, though, doing it that early.
But it was just absolutely just flailing, trying to make something work.
Yeah.
You know, I obviously listened to like Bill Burr and, you know, Joe Rogan and all the time, and I was like, I should probably do something with my day.
Yeah,
my
that seems easy enough. We can do that.
Yeah. But honestly,
and when you started off, Colin, with the podcast idea, was it something you did in the gaff, or did you go to a studio?
I think I actually started in Glasgow. Me and my now wife lived in Glasgow for like a year. I'm pretty sure I bought the first Zoom recorder with her student loan.
The very first one.
Yeah. And then I did it at the house, and then a few years later got like a studio space. But this is proof that I was kind of probably doing it too early. I was doing General Banter, and it was reasonably successful. But at a certain point, the producer I was working with, Niall, who is our current producer on Bomb Squad, kind of suggested that I should do a podcast with just Aaron McCann.
Okay.
You know, because anytime he was a guest on my podcast, you know,
the
numbers kind of spiked. Because we are like legit mates, you know what I mean? It wasn't just a guest. And we sort of did it properly this time, which was like build a set, get it all lined up. And as soon as that launched, it kind of had the momentum of General Banter and everything, and The Office, and The Experience, and the kit. And it just immediately like off to the races.
But the Bomb Squad podcast is a hugely successful thing. Colin, you mentioned you did a live version of it in the SSC Arena. Mm. Aaron, who's your mate, is he in New York now or something?
Yeah.
He's living in New York.
He lives in New York, yeah.
Well, I imagine me or you moved to New York and we still continue to do the podcast.
That wouldn't happen, Eric.
Would it?
No,
I hope the lads make it work.
Having too good of a time in New York.
Why could we do one in New York?
The podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? I'm going down to the outlets to see if there's any special on trainers or sneakers, as they say.
I think the podcast lets him run wild for 3 weeks a month.
Right.
In New York, he doesn't need a day job. He doesn't need any of that shit. He just does gigs.
Amazing. I'm asking you to speak for him. What was his motivation to move to New York? Like, was he just, especially when things were going so well here with the podcast, etc.?
He just always wanted to.
Okay.
He'd already lived in LA for a year, visa that he was on, had to come back, lived in London for a bit, came back, and then I just talked about it forever and just finally went.
And was part of the conversation saying, no, we'll still do the podcast? Or
well, whenever we just started and he was like, you know, I'm supposed to be moving to New York like at the end of the year. And I was like, all right, fair. I was kind of like, we'll just see how it goes. And then he was like, you know, I'll be scared if it sort of started to go well and, you know, we're making money and it was, you know, whatever. And I still had to go. And I was like, it'll be the best problem you've ever had.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is like too successful to not go. I don't know, but it's...
But your content is usually entertaining, Colin, because I've seen you and your visits to New York, going over to visit Aaron. And, and I don't know, when you were in New York, did you do the podcast from New York as well? Or
The first time we did.
Yeah.
We've only been over twice. The first time we recorded in New York, which was a fucking nightmare, because...
Was it?
You would try and find a studio and it wouldn't happen, and then you'd end up just back at his gaff, like recording on the sofa, and you're like, we might as well be at home.
The original.
So then the second time we went, he was actually at home and we did all the recording, and then we just went on a holiday, basically, you know.
Brilliant. What did you do?
Saw the sights.
What did you do in the States?
I mean, a very sort of comedy tourist trip, you know what I mean? You just hit up all the fucking famous clubs and go to Soho and try and buy some cool stuff. Cool t-shirts that look cool in New York, and then you get home and you look like a fucking...
And does Aaron get home much?
He's home every... He's home for a week, a month.
Oh,
he's home every 3 weeks.
And the way things is going over there, he'll be home very soon.
Yeah.
Is he legit? Yeah.
Oh, he's very legit. He paid an absolute fortune for that fucking thing.
I'd say that's all people are hearing, that's, you know, from different countries over there. They just hear Bleeding Your Man singing in the back of their head, Ice, Ice Baby.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, you're thrown around, sake. It's just mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
A minute.
That's why when I bring it up on the podcast, anything about Ice, he's just like, you know, he's like, shh.
Yeah, he can't be associated with any of that talk.
I'm not allowed to say anything about this.
And did you meet anyone famous over there in any of the clubs? Did you obviously go? Did you go to the Cellar in New York?
Yeah, went to the Cellar. I don't know about meeting anybody, no.
Did you want to get up on stage?
I did Aaron's gig, okay. Which is the one that he runs. And
he runs a gig in New York?
It's called Ernie O'Malley's, yeah.
Oh, right.
It's called The Bog.
Love it.
Ernie O'Malley's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Never heard an Irish fella with a first name Ernie.
Ernie?
Yeah, Ernie. Your man out bleeding Sesame Street.
Well, he's like a famous, Ernie O'Malley's like a, some sort of writer or poet or something.
Oh, was
like
he?
Yeah.
If you look at
Never heard of him. Come here. Yeah. Didn't do a lot of skill.
That's all right. Yeah. Skills for losers, will I?
Running wild in the fields.
But the likes of the Cellar and everything, you know, you're like, did you get up? You're like, it's a lot harder to get up there than you would think.
I'd imagine.
There's a whole process.
And is there loads on, like, when you're there? Does it look, is it like an assembly line of comics?
Oh, yeah.
Like, is there loads of them waiting to get on?
Yeah, there'll be fucking 10 or 12 of them.
We mentioned Ireland. We had him on the podcast. He was talking to us about that place. He said he went in to do just a short fight. Ardal O'Hanlon.
Ardal, right.
And 5 to 7 minutes, whatever it was. He says, but he said the whole audience was just other comics. He said there was like 10, 12 comics in a row. There was a couple of audience members. And your woman was like, she was like a supervisor in a factory. She's going, okay, John Thomas, you're next. And then we have Ardal. Oh, Hanlon, you're next. And then, Ardal, we're going to hold you back for a minute because you got a special guest and fucking, who was it? Your mate Kevin Hart, I think, went in and fucking...
Your buddy, yeah.
Big Kev.
Yeah. How did you end up getting that gig?
I don't know. Like, it was a complete, like, you know, freak occurrence because he just happened to be filming in Belfast. And he was obviously there for like 2 or 3 months, and he, fair play to him, he would shoot for like 14 hours a day and then go to a set, you know? And I don't know, I think maybe, no, his first gig in Belfast was in Lavery's Comedy Club, which was pretty badass, yeah.
That's brilliant.
Because
shout out to Lavery. Sorry, Colin runs Lavery's in Belfast, and you had the good fortune being up there last year. One of the best run comedy clubs on this island, amazing. Great venue.
Boom. Bang. But yeah, so whatever week he landed, he was like, you know, I'm going to film, I want to do a set. And just, we were sort of available, essentially. And, but again, you know, I was told there was like a high profile guest, you know, in Belfast wanted to run set. And I'm like, all right. Because if they're not telling you, you're kind of like, oh, fair enough, I don't give a shit. And then eventually they were, you know, it was Shine and Promotions, they were able to go like, yeah, it's Kevin Hart. And I was like, you're fucking joking me.
Wow.
But there's still no confirmation of that or anything until he walked out of the back on the stage. Like, we had to just start this show. I was like hosting, chatting to people.
Stop.
Blah, blah, blah. They're like, when you get a flash, introduce Kevin Hart. You know, so I was fucking killing time, like spinning plates, chatting to people and all.
There wasn't a full lineup that night. It was just you and Kevin.
I'm trying to remember if Shane was, it was me and Shane basically did all of them.
And at that, like, so when you went in that evening, Colin, you weren't even absolutely sure Kevin Hart was going to turn up.
It sounds like a fucking piss.
Yeah, of course it does.
It does, and it's something that you're made to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're going, fucking idiot. This is going to be funny.
Because it's
something that I do to someone and you do.
Yeah.
You know, you go, yeah, listen, Ricky Gervais is going to come in when we flash it. And then you get the flash and you record it and go, you fucking idiot.
But it was a serious operation because the security and everything was through the roof. There's all these other, like, bouncers and stuff you'd never seen before, and they were lying in the fucking back hall. Kevin Hart wasn't like chilling out in the back with us.
No,
he was in the van, obviously.
Yeah.
So we're like, right, and, you know, someone will come up that I've never seen before, and be like, right, you start now. And I'm in my own comedy club. I'm like, all right, and I went up and, you know, just chatting away, did a bit of a set, bit of hosting, and then got a flash with a torch, and I had to just be like, we've got a special guest tonight, folks. And in my head, it was like, it's Kevin Hart, apparently. But then he had a specific sort of intro tune that he played on all of those dates, and that started playing, and then just four fucking giant men started walking towards, you know, up the gap and the chairs, and then it sort of parted a bit, and he emerged, and I was just like, well,
he is here.
They weren't taking the piss off.
I wasn't lying.
Yeah, I fucking told you.
That was a really great moment, though. Like,
it's just fucking white panic, you know what I mean? You're just
the audience, like, what the fuck?
Well, you think it's going to be immediate, like, yeah!
Yeah.
But there's a delay where they go,
Is that him? Is that really him?
Full of shit. Like, yeah. And then they're like, fucking no way.
Wow.
And even when he's on stage, people are like, you know, is it?
Yeah,
Is that AOI? Hang on.
Yeah. And he's, you know, he's fucking...
And then
well,
he
well, no, he's not a big man, like, you yeah, know, so yeah. I can pull him on stage like a
you
like
got
a
to
toddler.
Do a few you got to do a few shows from then, didn't you?
Oh yeah, it was like 24 Jesus. Or something altogether.
So what was he like?
Well, we didn't get to speak to him until
okay.
the very end, really.
Okay.
Did you
no, because I mean, I thought it was weird at the time, but I sort of get it now, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
he's choosing to do these sets, and like it was in the limelight in Laverys in Belfast, and then he's choosing to do this after a day's filming, you know, so it's probably just keep it all tight and I don't want to fucking hang around here and talk shit, whatever. Until the last two gigs, which were the arena down here and the SSE.
Amazing.
And then he sort of, I think he was just happy to be leaving Ireland.
Nearly had the accent and everything.
Yeah, he got out of the van at on the last night and he was like, hey, like it's here. Where was all this, you know?
We could have been best buds. So I take you don't have each other's numbers and that like that. I was going to say, send him a text to see if he's doing a podcast. But anyway,
so you hear us.
No, if he walked in now, he'd be like, who's this fucking.
Yeah, he wouldn't recognise you.
And what did you do on the last night? What did you just hang out? What happened?
Did you have a heart to heart? Hey!
No, I was in the arena and had a heart attack. he had like. He had sort of released a tequila at the time, so he gave us a bottle of tequila, like engraved with our names and everything.
Deadly.
You know? Gave us like, it's weird, his fucking camera's going at all times. And all. He's like, so we'll say thanks for support, man.
Come here, I have a weird podcasty type question for you, Colin, and here it is, right? If
what,
we were visiting.
What camera do you recommend to start
with? How did the Kevin Hart connection come? No. Like
we're gonna get sponsored by an oil company,
fucking WD-40. Right?
Yeah, when the Epstein files are out there now, and now they're releasing the Alien files, which is amazing. Like just to distract everybody from predators. But anyway, Alien Predator. Anyway, it doesn't matter. If we were visited by aliens, Colin, right? And for some reason you were the first person to speak to them, how would you describe to them what Northern Ireland and Northern Irish people are like?
Oh my god!
I put you on the spot, and they went. Take us to your leader. And he went, Colin Geddes, he's our leader. Mr. Geddes, explain to me what Northern Ireland's like and what are the Northern Irish people like?
What are they like? What do you think they're like? Because...
Well, my experience... I'll tell you what my experience...
Because you think, you know, it's all fucking Ireland and, you know, we're all the same.
No.
We're not the same.
No, of course not.
Come here, and listen, I don't be up there that much. I've been up loads over the years, like, but I mean, there's still tension in the place. If I go into the wrong area with me bleeding Southern Reg, Carl, like, there's no one. You're gonna get a bit of hassle. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
I don't think it's like that as much anymore. And I take that. I do. And I used to be nervous about shit like that. But
so
now,
then you could park your car up in Sandy Row and.
But I wouldn't want to park my car in Sandy Row.
It's not that far from Laverty's either, isn't it?
No, it's right there.
Yeah, it's right there.
But I think what's happened is, and I've noticed it with the North, especially over the last few years, is that the younger people. Don't give a fuck as much as the older people about the divisions, the sectarianism. I think Northern Ireland, the people are growing up a little bit. They're being a bit more mature. There's a little bit more togetherness, if you will.
Well,
maybe I'm being naive.
What brought them together was immigrants.
Yeah. That's probably
say,
true.
I thought you were going to say Kevin Hart.
No, but it's like anything, if you went looking for it, you probably find it. You know, the sort of division, whatever. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's... I mean, even in, like, the comedy world, you know, there is no, you know, Tim McGarry that's, like, my age.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Nobody's, like, real locked into, like, politics and... Because everyone was kind of like, I don't even want to fucking talk about it. You know what I mean? I'm going to bring
You've listened to it for long enough.
Yeah, I'm going to bring some... And he, by the way, he's fucking brilliant at it. You know,
he's amazing.
Almost like, you know... It's like hearing the news, but funny when you see him. But, you know, there was a whole generation of people who are kind of, you know, just didn't want to address it.
Yeah.
You know, just want to.
They didn't want it to be part of their identity or anything like that.
Kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
Getting on with it, you know. And then now you've got this slightly younger generation, probably like 10 years younger, where it's almost like romanticized kind of, you know, the kneecap
type of generation.
All fucking yes and troubles and fucking
romanticized is a great word.
It almost is a little bit.
You're right.
Because they probably have seen none of it. You know, I probably missed it by about 5 years. You know, I've seen like little hangover bits of trouble, mainly just over like marching and protests and where I lived, they were kicking off down the road. Like we couldn't really see it.
You hear
watching it on the news, and you're like, "That's a half a mile away."
Wow!
And they'd be tearing the place up because they wouldn't let like a like an orange march happen in fucking Portadown.
Yeah,
and you're like, "You haven't left your fucking street. You've never been in Portadown. You're like,
yeah, you can't even spell Portadown
because they couldn't march over there. They absolutely decimated this area down
Jesus
the street.
Like, Christ.
So I saw that sort of stuff, but it wasn't like real troubles. Yeah, fucking stopped by the and all that shit.
Checkpoints and all that kind of stuff.
You're talking about Tim McGarty, and he is a master at his craft when it comes to
100%
political stuff.
That, but I was on Phailot and Phubble a few years ago. I don't know whether you ever heard of this. So there was an English comedian on. I'm not going to name who he was. I'll let you know after the podcast. But it was myself and
a
John.
A big comedian.
Big enough, yeah. It was myself, John Cleary, and Tim McGarry was hosting.
Yeah.
And it was in the big place. Where's that big hall in the Phailot and Phubble? Where do you have it?
Falls Park or something?
No. It's in it. Look, a big, huge hall. Yeah. The boxing does be on in it and that.
The Devonish.
The Devonish. So myself and John was on, and Tim was hosting, and this guy was on last. And I don't know whether I was on first or John was on first. The two of us done really well, had a great gig. But Tim was up doing his stuff before he brought this guy on. So me and John obviously are standing in the wings and we're looking at Tim and we're waiting to see this fella. So he'd be great with a crack. So he's talking about the troubles, and obviously there's a lot of lads in the room that would have been caught up in stuff years ago and that. And then he started doing stuff.
Praying for it to
about,
come back.
then he started doing stuff about the British soldiers and that. Yeah. And then he just turns around and goes, this next act is British, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. And you couldn't.
Oh, that wasn't that nasty, Tim. Yeah.
And I looked at John Cleary and I went, did he just fucking say that?
Yeah.
Set him
and
up
the man is standing beside me and John, looking at me and John like a dog eating a banana. He's like, and he goes, ladies and gentlemen, such and such, and I swear to God, you want to hear the abuse he got.
Oh, dear.
15 minutes, he come off stage, he says, get me a car, and get people going to lynch him.
Jesus.
I'm not joking, I put him in the back of a car.
How many years ago was that?
I would say at a guest of me, nine years ago. Yeah, and got straight into the car and straight back to the airport.
yeah. COVID started all that shit.
Yeah, so I was like, man, come here. I don't think it was unintentional. I think Tim just, it was just,
oh no, it was just pretty the way intentional.
It wasn't, but I was like, Jesus, John, at least we've got paid.
I did a fail on football one year, and it was me, it was actually, I got lucky, not lucky, I suppose. Jason Bourne was supposed to do it, but Jason couldn't do it. So he asked me to do it because they see me with Jason.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jesus, I said, ah, no, you'll be grand, you can headline it. And Paddy McDonald's involved as well. Paddy was hosting. And you know Danny Dowling?
Yeah.
Danny was on from New Zealand.
Starmat.
Oh my God, yeah. Colin. He got up and he started talking about,
oh, that's right, yeah,
the hunger strikers and the shit on the walls and dirty protests, and there was fucking boys in the room, and it wasn't funny. I just thought, it was like, do not press the red button. He says, I'm going to press that fucking red button and see what happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Paddy had to actually physically protect him in the dressing room. There was people trying to get in the door at him.
There.
Now, come here. It was great for me. I went on and ripped it. Yeah.
And you know what? I'm Jason Byrne.
Yeah. I know I kind of heard the end of that story.
Yeah.
You know what happened, don't you?
Oh,
so
yeah.
So his family, where they lived in New Zealand, looked after a lot of the lads years ago.
Safe houses.
Like a safe house.
Okay.
And that was the only get out of jail card he had. They were going, he's such and such Dowland's son. And they were going, so there was phone calls made and the whole lot. And when it was confirmed that he actually was who he was and his family had done what he'd done, they let him off the hook like.
You see, no one, there was a whole generation of comedians that were just not bringing it up. You know, just going on stage,
the point?
Like, fucking,
there's no point. You know what I mean?
Look, we're moving on. The different times, comedy has changed. You know, politics have changed, and even though you're kind of scared sometimes to go, should I say that? Can I say that? I don't think there really should be a restriction on what we say. I firmly believe that comedy is something that will make people laugh. My comedy isn't personal or isn't like there to hurt anybody or anything like that. And it's genuinely not. There's no intention like that, you know. But it's a very fickle time and it's a very delicate time to be able to get up and stand behind a mic on a stage and say it, you know.
Well, you see, you know, like I definitely try to do it where, you know, there's always this like sort of local comedy vibes, like, oh, local comedian. And for years I was always like, why can't there just be a fucking good comedian who happens to be from here?
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like it's only just coming about, you know, like, especially there's a lot more, you know, Northern Irish people in things now. It's kind of, it's not weird, you know.
The Northern Irish is sexy now.
Sexiest accent in the world.
I really do, like, genuinely. And like, even when I'm doing the Empire, I'm doing Laveries, I love having that little bit of banter with the Belfast people. So I love the Belfast accent. It's so beautiful and rich, but also hugely threatening.
Yeah. we're up there in a couple of weeks. You might as well plug it.
March the 8th. I don't even know where we're playing. We're somewhere in Belfast.
City Hall. Is it somewhere beside City Hall?
I wouldn't say it's City Hall.
It is. It's beside City Hall.
Thompson? Is it Paddy's thing?
No, it's Paddy's thing. Is it the gas yard or something like that? Is that what it's called? The something yard?
Thompson's garage, probably.
Yes, that's it. I said to Paddy, can I bring my car up for service while I'm on stage? the 8th of March, Sunday night.
But Colin, you're on a big tour now. It's coming down south, so to speak.
Yeah.
I noticed you're in the TLT. Up in Drogheda.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing in Dublin?
The
Ambassador. Brilliant. Where we're doing our live podcast show, Magic.
Don't ask me what date that is. I'll have to get the phone out.
Well, Colin Geddes has a list of. You have your own website.
ColinGeddes.com.
Colin Geddes.
Original.
Very cryptic.
GEDDIS. Yeah. ColinGeddes.com. You will see his list of dates. Are you doing all the Cork, Galway, Limerick, Dublin?
I probably will. It's not on the list just yet, but. We just had a new baby, so I'm kind of like... I'm just trying to...
Oh, congratulations,
number
Colin.
Number two, was it?
Number two.
Ah, amazing.
Boy, girl? He's
boy.
Lovely.
Two boys now, yeah.
How has that changed you as a person and a comedian?
You do get there's a year and a half of great new material, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, it's good new material.
I remember seeing you, where was it? I don't know where it was, Laveries or somewhere. I was watching it, and you did this story about bringing your kid to...
I think Crackdown was the last place I saw you.
Oh, the Crackdown, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And you were talking about, you were at an adventure park with the little kid. It was like you were in a playground. And it was fucking just, it was, and you were telling me at the time it was something you were working on, it was a new bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, fucking hell, man. That sounds like it's ready. It's fucking brilliant. Yeah.
It was a true story. So as funny as it was going to get. You know what I mean? Just my son in a packed playground, and it was just me and him. And he was like, "Daddy!" He was at the top of this fucking wooden castle thing with a slide on it. And he's like, "Daddy!" And he goes, "Why is that lady on a scooter?" And like everybody is fucking looking at me, and I turn around, and this girl's on the fucking the rascal thing. With her walking stick and all in the background, and I was like, just absolutely mortified. I'm like, get the fuck out.
All eyes on me. I was like, what do I say?
And then he kept, that was the joke. I've stopped doing that now.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
He was like asking me, why did she need to use it? And I, instead of explaining, you know, having a conversation about access, disability and everything, I was like, it was like, well, her daddy told her to go to bed at 8 o'clock, and she didn't. And that's what happens to you.
That's genius. Uses your own advantage.
Yeah.
Come here. Sometimes kids are just a well of material. I remember years ago collecting my daughter from school, and there was a woman going out in front of me, a fairly large woman,
mm-hmm.
and I said something that I shouldn't have said.
Yeah.
Because she jammed on. There was a gap for her to kind of go, and she didn't go.
Yeah.
And I said something to her, and about 2 weeks later, I'm standing there talking to a fella, and she just happened to walk up beside us, went, and my daughter goes, "Oh, there's your woman," and called her exactly. And they called her, and I was like, oh, fuck. What do you do, you know?
Yeah.
It's just melting.
I think everyone
ground.
Needs to know, though, the kids will just say anything. Like,
yeah, of course they will.
You can't be too bleeding precious about what they say. What was the... I was Googling Belfast stories, and the big story recently is the outrage at the K-pop concert up in Belfast, and the Belfast mammies came out like a fucking well-organised army.
Yeah.
And we're not happy with that shit. Your thoughts on that, Colin?
I'll be honest, like, I didn't see any footage from it. I just kind of heard that story secondhand. Yeah. I think there was a bit of confusion, people, because all the kids are obsessed with K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yeah.
And that's maybe what probably like 60% of them were expecting. And then it was just kind of like a K-pop show.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously a whole genre. It's not just bloody this one film. And probably not geared towards... There's probably more kids at it than there should have been.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they just kicked off. But
it's just...
But there's nothing better than, you know, now Belfast Karen. Like,
Belfast Karen.
I am appalled. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Who's in charge here?
And they're ready to go as well, aren't they? Like, really?
You do not mess with a Belfast man.
Like, they back up the violence with the bleeding wards, like, you know? There's none of this mouth-on-mouth, no action.
I know. No, fucking... Yeah, it's weird. I mean, like... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how do you sort of, you know, vet a show before you book it? That's what I'd like to know. You know, someone rings up and they're like, I'd like to book the arena. And you're like, I'm going to have to see and I'll gonna have to see a few reels first before again.
No, we're really good. We're big in Korea. Okay,
Joe was absolutely unbelievable. We had at the Comedian's Comedy. And this was happening in the corner. I didn't even know she was there, but we had a sign language lady. Obviously, like, it's something that they have to do when the gig's that big.
Yeah, you know?
And I wasn't even aware of her. Couldn't see her. You know, you can't see anything. But everybody was just obsessed with her. He was sitting around her, basically. So, like, I have one very grainy clip of Mark McCartney on stage. He was talking with some guy in his, you know, local town who was cycling around with his fucking dick out, you know? And this girl's doing all the sign language. And every once in a while, just be like, how could you watch the show if that was going on? Like, I'd be like, this is the show now.
This is the show.
This is fucking unreal.
Just put her on the big screen behind us.
And it was, by the way, it was just like, you know, it was just one after another. You know what I mean? Like, I was on, Arm was on, it's all fucking wanking and shitting and everything. And then
she's just...
Mickey did a friggin' 10-minute bit about, you know, someone's arsehole. And, you know, she had a busy night of just like...
Yeah, yeah.
Just, God knows what she was doing. Like,
you were talking to me about somebody
I done a gig. I done a wedding for a fella I know. Mm-hmm. He said, will you come over and just do 20 minutes? I says, I'll go over. And anyway, and it was in a real intimate room upstairs in a pub. Now, it was great. It was a great bit of crack.
Yeah.
Because I knew a lot of people there, and you could take the piss subtly out of people. But there was a couple there that were deaf, and they had a woman doing the sign language. I know he was just saying stuff.
Just to see what they would do.
I shouldn't have been saying, like, and the place was in.
Yeah.
And the two deaf people were finding this hilarious. Yeah. Probably the two.
And that's the way they clap.
Yeah, yeah, it was great. But it's happening a lot. John Bishop actually done it with his tour there. I think the one before last, I was in England and I met him and I went to a couple of gigs with him and he had a deaf guy supporting him.
Right.
And he had a fella translating for him. Okay. And he done it on the tour. So when the deaf guy was on telling the jokes, the fella was standing beside it on a material.
God.
Talking the material that he was actually talking about. It was very good and very interesting because John's young lad has a condition where he's actually gone deaf at the minute, Joe, the eldest fella.
Okay.
And so I think it was something, there was an affiliation with that, why it was involved, but it was very good and a completely different angle of looking at comedy, you know?
Why not? If you're doing a gig at that size, and some of those interpreters they're expensive to hire.
I imagine.
In an arena show for the sake of...
Yeah.
500 quid, you know.
Well, you're bringing three, we're bringing two people on tour, which you're realistically when you think about it. So you're bringing the interpreter and you're bringing the guy that's doing
that's in the cost, isn't it, with the projector and the mics and all that.
Your interpreter. You reckon the interpreter gets about 2 months in, they're like, would you write a new fucking joke?
I could imagine the interpreter doing completely different material than what he's doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like going telling something.
This fella's
else,
a wanker.
Talking
shit. For anyone who's wondering and hasn't got the wherewithal to check out Colin's website, just to give you some of the dates, there are down in the Republic. This lad is playing Draw at the TLT Theatre on the 22nd of May, and then he's in the Glorious Ambassador Theatre in Dublin on the 23rd of May. Me and Will, I think we might go along to that, Will.
I think we will. Yeah, 23rd
we will
of
definitely
May,
win
yeah, definitely.
In our home city. And then you're doing two nights in Dundalk in the Spirit Star, which is one of our favourite venues.
It's unreal, isn't it?
It's a great
29th
venue.
Of May.
Derek's the sound man up there from Dublin.
Yeah. The 29th of May to Friday and Saturday the 30th of May, you're doing two nights in the Spirit Store, and amazing. And look, obviously you've got your gigs up the north, but you'll fill them anyway because you're so big up there. The Telegraph Building on the 8th of May, you're doing two nights in the Millennium. We're doing one on the 15th of May and one on the 24th of May, the Millennium. So yeah, we've covered all our bases there, Colin.
This is all,
he's sitting there looking at you going, no, what I'm seeing in your head is going, jeez, I've double booked that one.
Even when you said Millennium Forum, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm doing two of them.
And you're doing, obviously, you're going over to, you're doing the Leicester Square Theatre on the 5th of June in London. And one of my favourites, of course, the Hot Water Comedy Club in Liverpool on the 12th of June. So, like, do you find, Colin, like, from the podcast, it's helped with your stand-up in terms of your reach and people coming to come and see you?
100%.
Really, yeah?
100%.
So what's happening with us then, Willa?
would you harvest a lot of material from the podcast stuff that you say? Would you kind of pull it back and do something with it?
Not real. I should.
Right.
I should, but it's just a constant conveyor belt of talking shite, isn't it? You know what I mean?
That people love.
Yeah, you just kind of blast it out. It should be. You know, I should probably re-listen to a lot of it. And kind of, sometimes you will just let something slide and it's kind of funny and...
You need
somebody standing beside you, like that's a bit.
Yeah,
like, Arma Khan's actually very good at that. You know,
I've seen you at the Ivy Gardens there. I don't know whether it was last year, or the year before.
Okay,
but you ripped the place apart.
Is that the big tent?
Yeah.
Oh, the Bleeding Massive stage.
Shit,
it was. Yeah, it was a great gig.
Was that the Tommy Tiernan one?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was standing there and I was going, you had them in the palm.
You smashed
it. You did genuinely.
I mean, it does help having experience of big gigs.
Yeah.
You know, like you're shitting yourself a bit when you first do like a big gig.
Yeah.
But once you know sometimes
you do a few of them,
you know?
Yeah. You get a little bit sure of yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
Like you know I can play a room this size.
Well that was another weird moment where I was like, should I be out here? You know what I mean? It was like
imposter syndrome almost like?
Not imposter syndrome, just like I knew I could do the gig, but I was looking around. I was like, by the way, everybody was nervous.
Yes, of course.
I was breaking it. I forget who else was on.
Tommy.
I was just thinking of a joke there.
Tommy Tiernan standing beside a tree, just kind of staring at the tree.
Yeah. Will I hug it or not?
Yeah.
It's Tree Arena.
Tree Arena.
I was thinking sometimes you get clown syndrome.
But I felt, you know, I was like, never met him before. I'd probably go up and be like, Tommy. And he's just like, staring at a tree, and I was like, I'll leave him. I didn't really, you know, everybody was nervous, pacing up and down. I think Alison Spittle was on. And then I came off, and he's just like, good work. And I was like, good to see you. And I just kind of left, you know. A bit, not imposter syndrome, but a bit like, you know, have I skipped the queue down here?
Right.
You know, that sort of vibe.
Okay, like, yeah.
But I think everybody was just so nervous, nobody was speaking to each other.
There's a ringing endorsement for your next poster then, though, you know. Good work, Tommy Tiernan.
Oh, yeah. I was at a cafe.
Live from the tree and just do this, the yoke from the, you know, the sign off the Tree Arena. Live from the tree.
I actually saw a flyer for a play when I was in a cafe yesterday, and it was, you know, it said like a cozy little hug of a performance or something, and the quote was, it just said Alan from Belfast. It's like, is that all it needs? I could just write, decent, my wife.
Yeah. Like, that's it really, isn't it? Like, I mean, I've done it. I think we've all done it. We go out and try and get quotes from established stars, and then nobody gives a fuck, really.
No.
Like, you could write anything.
Look, yeah, come here, look at, and the whole thing goes as well. Like, I've been in Edinburgh and went to see shows that have got one and two star, and you're kind of going, it's not a one or two star show. It's a really good show. I don't think it should be done like that. I think the way it should work is that the audience dictates. It's like when you go into Tesco's and you press the button, you know, the green, you're happy with your...
Yeah.
I think that should be there. I think that should be on every venue you go to. I think there should be a 1, 2, 3 and 4 star button. And when the audience is walking out, they press the button. Let them decide, because you look, now think about it. You're getting a fella that goes in, probably, I'd probably hit the,
I'd hit the thumbs down for
fella,
the crack. Like,
you got to tell your rival.
Fella probably doesn't like you, has had a bit of trouble that day and woke, or probably is coming off the back of an argument with his wife or something like that, and goes in and goes, I'm not writing a good review, like, I'm just giving him a pardon. It's my opinion.
But you've seen that before, like a million times. You know, I know Mickey Bartlett has had a few, like, you know, where it literally says, like, absolutely, you know, relentlessly funny for 60 minutes, tremendous club comic, 2 out of 5.
Yes.
You know, you're like,
come here.
We'd blow everybody out of the fucking water, but it doesn't have some sort of weird, you know, narrative about, you
my
know.
One and only Edinburgh was 2013, Colin, and I did my full show. It was a great, great experience, and I didn't have a PR team behind me trying to get reviewers in, but as it happened, one night, your woman Kate Copstick came in from The Scotsman, and she's revered as one of the toughest kind of reviewers in the game. But she wrote me an amazing fucking review.
Yeah.
But 2 out of 5.
For 600 quid.
And Jarlett, who was rooming with, was, you know, he had the PR team, he was trying, and he was like, You had Kate Copstick in at your show? So she just came in. I didn't ask her to come in, like, you know what I mean? And she told me, I met her at the club later on in the festival club, and she said, no, I was going to another show and I had time to kill, so I just thought I'd pop in and say, and it was a really good review. Thanks very much. She goes, ah, no problem. And then I didn't follow her up again. So why only fucking two?
Yeah. Because, you know, like, it has to be a bunch of things. It has to be like original and experimental.
And nobody died either.
And funny and good. You know, it's like, it's just funny.
Yeah. You
know, that's all it has to be, but not in this fucking dump, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I did me job. Come here, look, we are rapidly running out of time. Yes, we are, because I told you.
Yeah.
So we have to move on. Colin, before we let you go, where do you want to see yourself in 5 years' time?
I don't know. I mean, like,
do you love what you do?
What would you like to be doing in 5 years?
This is my problem. I like too many things.
Right.
You know, like, I'm probably a bit of a creative.
Yeah.
Army comedian.
You know, across the board, like, instead of just being a stand-up and just going full fucking at that, you know, we do have the podcast and, you know, we do the merch and I'm into a whole lot of things, so.
And the family and 2 young kids.
And the family and, you know.
I run a comedy club.
Many interests, things like that. So I actually don't know. I think the next step would be actually kind of make something substantial.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like a series or something like that. And, you know, I can never be bothered going down the traditional route of trying to pitch something to somebody. So it might be do something myself.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of clips, a lot of podcasts, and it's kind of water under the bridge, but I'd like a big project to be like, boom, did that.
Focus on that.
That's available for you to watch.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that has been Colin Geddes. We've enjoyed having you on, Colin. Thanks very much for coming down.
The time is just flowing, isn't it?
Hasn't it just?
I think when you've got, I'm not going to say what I always say.
Blow smoke up your arse.
Yeah, but I think when you've got good guests on, and you know, the time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying, eh?
Yeah, Colin Geddes, it's been an absolute pleasure. Don't forget to check out colingeddes.com to see where he's playing, because when he comes to somewhere near you, go and see him. It's a show you will absolutely love.
Colin Geddes. Colin Geddes.